Good morning. My name is Jennifer, and I will be your conference operator. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Arca Third Quarter 2014 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. Thank you. I will now turn the call over to Melanie Carpenter of iAdvize Corporate Communications. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Jennifer. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today, Arca Continental will discuss its results for the third quarter of 2014. The earnings report went out this morning, and the long version is available on the company website as well as a webcast. The website is arcacontal.com. It's now my pleasure to introduce our speakers. Joining us from Monterrey are Mr. Francisco Garza-Egloff, Arca Continental's Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Gutiérrez, Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Emilio Marcos, Chief Financial Officer, as well as other members of the management team. It's now my pleasure to turn the call over to Mr. Garza-Egloff for his presentation. So please go ahead, Pancho.
Oh, thank you, Melanie, always. And thanks to all of you for joining us this morning to discuss our results for the third quarter. I am very pleased to report that we have delivered another outstanding financial and operating performance in this quarter, despite a challenging competitive and macroeconomic environment, coupled with severe weather conditions in Mexico. This was made possible by our world-class execution capabilities at the point of sale, the continued search for efficiencies across our operations, and the absolute commitment of our team to combat the effects of a weak consumer environment. As a result, total consolidated volume declined just 0.5% in the third quarter, reflecting the negative impact of the excise tax in Mexico. However, I want to highlight that this represents another notch in the sequential quarterly improvement that we have been sharing with you since the beginning of the year. Our consolidated revenue increased 3.6% to 16.4 billion pesos, thanks to a result of our efforts to effectively manage our diverse product portfolio and achieve an efficient and competitive price package architecture in all our markets. On a currency-neutral basis and excluding the effect of the Argentine peso depreciation, revenue grew 8.6%. Furthermore, we were able to increase our single-serve mix in both North and South America, a key factor to drive immediate consumption transactions and improve profitability while increasing consumer contact and loyalty of our brands. Consolidated EBITDA for the quarter rose 6.6%, reaching 3.7 billion pesos, with a margin expansion of 70 basis points to 22.8%, driven by cost efficiencies and operational improvements, primarily generated by our productivity programs in Mexico and surpassing our original estimates, as Arturo will mention later on. I am proud to say that this was the 14th consecutive quarter of EBITDA margin increase since the merger of Arca Continental. Our operations in North America continued their positive momentum, delivering solid revenue and profit growth by effectively executing our occasion-based brand package price and channel strategies, as well as by creating efficiencies and synergies across our manufacturing, sales, and distribution networks. Our team remains resolutely focused on winning at the point of sale while driving sustainable growth. As we mentioned earlier, our territories in Mexico were hit by major storms and heavy rains for the second year in a row. Hurricane Odile made a direct hit on the southern part of Baja California Peninsula, causing widespread power outages, flooding, and wind damage, disrupting for several days our product distribution in our territories of Cabo San Lucas, San José del Cabo, and La Paz. Our teams worked diligently to restore service and normalize operations, including shipping packaged water to affected areas. Working together with government authorities and civil organizations, we were actively involved in supporting communities, among other actions, donating over 150,000 liters of purified water. On a positive note, in this quarter, we experienced the overwhelming success of our Share a Coke campaign, as well as the recent launch of Coca-Cola Life in Mexico, which triggered growth in the category and reflected Coca-Cola's strategy of satisfying the changing needs of consumers with a broad and accessible product portfolio. Our operations in South America continued improving in profitability, thanks to volume gains in Argentina and also in Ecuador. In addition, we have been able to offset most of the impact of the recent devaluation in Argentina through selective price adjustments and more affordable presentations in returnable format, as well as rigorous cost discipline across the entire supply chain. Finally, I want to highlight the important progress we have been making in the area of sustainable packaging. Our operations in Ecuador began utilizing preforms made with post consumer recycled or PCR resin, with a 30% mix of PCR in most of our one-way PET presentations, which is the same as in Mexico. This is an example of how we are growing our business responsibly while making a positive difference in the environment and all the communities that we serve. In addition, and as a proof of our success in this effort, we were recently included in the MSCI Sustainability Index for 2014. This index includes the global companies with the top performance in environmental awareness, social responsibility, and corporate governance. It is a great honor for Arca Continental to be part of it and reinforces our commitment to continue incorporating the world's best practices in our management processes, while remaining engaged with consumers, reducing our cost of doing business, and improving our bottom line. And with this, I now turn over the presentation to Arturo, who will review our performance from a geographic and business unit perspective. Please, Arturo.
Thank you, Pancho, and good morning, everyone. Let me begin my overview with North America, the biggest part of our business. Mexico beverage volume in the third quarter declined 1.9%, excluding jug water, improving sequentially from the second quarter, when the decline was 4.2%. Packaged water category grew 2.2% in the third quarter, while colas and still beverages declined 1% and 5.9% respectively. Jug water volumes posted a strong 3.8% growth, reversing the negative trend from previous quarters. We're capitalizing on our plans to expand coverage and capture new customers, particularly in the traditional and home delivery channels. North America's net revenues increased 1.1% in the quarter to 12.5 billion pesos. Average price per case in Mexico, excluding jug water, increased 2.5% to 47.48 pesos. As in other cases where we have experienced economic slowdowns, we have reinforced our revenue growth management strategies, actively working to offer consumers attractive price package combinations. Examples include the expansion of returnable glass bottle presentations, as well as initiatives to ensure affordability tied to key price points. As a result, we achieved the highest mix of returnable presentations in many years, amounting to 38% of total volume. To strengthen our market leadership, we constantly reinforce our execution capabilities at the point of sale. Year to date, we increased the number of coolers in the market by 4 percentage points to reach over 317,000 installed units, bringing our coverage to nearly 78%. In the third quarter, EBITDA in North America rose 7.2% to 3.1 billion pesos, representing a margin of 24.9%, an expansion of 140 basis points. Our productivity improvement program is yielding excellent results. I will provide further details on the program in the final section of my remarks. One of the highlights in recent months has been the overwhelming success of our Share a Coke campaign, as it was rolled out across all our territories. The campaign capitalized on the global trend of self-expression and sharing in an emotional way. In addition to the names placed in all our Coke presentations, we implemented a Share a Coke tour with 225 stops, featuring traveling kiosks in 17 cities that enabled consumers to personalize more than 500,000 Coca-Cola cans for those who could not find their names on store shelves. The viral impact across social media and the engagement, particularly among teens, was outstanding, becoming a trending topic with more than 221,000 mentions on Twitter. Additional activations included an augmented reality application that allowed consumers to personalize a virtual Coca-Cola can using their cell phones to take photos and share them. This is a great example of how innovation applied to a campaign creates positive awareness and boosts immediate consumption. Coca-Cola Life was launched in Mexico as part of a global commitment to innovate and to meet consumers' evolving needs and preferences. Coca-Cola Life is part of a growing portfolio of low or zero-calorie beverages, and it is the first to combine stevia and sugar sweeteners, resulting in 60% less calories compared with Coca-Cola Classic. We deployed Coca-Cola Life in more than 28 cities in our territory in both returnable and non-returnable formats, complementing Coca-Cola Life and Coke Zero offerings. Furthermore, we are moving swiftly to expand distribution of Santa Clara dairy products. We have leveraged our beverage and jug water businesses to rapidly extend the coverage in the traditional and at-home channels. 2 months after starting operations, Santa Clara's products are sold in all our territories. Now let us switch to our snacks operation in North America, consisting of Bocados in Mexico and Wise Foods in the U.S. Bocados is sustaining its solid momentum, delivering high single-digit sales growth in the quarter while increasing market share, particularly in the traditional channel, as a result of an improved management of a distribution network and a better execution at the point of sale. We continue innovating our snack product portfolio. In the quarter, we launched Topito Linaza to complement our existing brand and provide consumers with great-tasting, better-for-you products. Bocados is well-positioned to meet changing lifestyle trends. We're also expanding coverage of Wise brand in Mexico, reaching over 30,000 customers in the traditional channel and a large number of key retailers in the modern channel. Our Wise snacks business in the U.S. posted solid single-digit sales and EBITDA growth, driven by lower prices in commodities like potatoes, edible oil, and corn, coupled with favorable potato yields. Wise added 300 Bilo and Winn-Dixie stores to its customer base, increasing its reach into key markets in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Our Berwick plant, located in Pennsylvania, achieved Global Food Safety Initiative certification in June, further enhancing our position as a quality production facility in the salty snack category. In addition, we continued strengthening our production capabilities in the U.S. We recently acquired a facility in Fort Worth, Texas, to service our growing business in the Southwest and in Mexico. Let me turn now to South America. Volume in the region was up 1.5% in the quarter, reversing the negative trend from previous quarters. Total revenues increased 12.6% after a strong 8.7% growth in last year's third quarter, reaching 3.9 billion pesos. This figure includes our stake in Tonicorp. On a currency-neutral basis, offsetting the negative translation effect of the Argentine peso depreciation, total revenue rose 35.2%, driven by growth in returnable and single-serve presentations. EBITDA for the quarter rose 3.9% to 622 billion pesos, representing a margin of 15.8%. On a currency-neutral basis, EBITDA margin expanded 25.6%. In Argentina, despite the challenging economic situation, our beverage business delivered solid volume growth of 1.6% in the third quarter, driven by an increase of 1.4% in colas and an impressive 62% in still beverages. In local currency terms, we continue to post strong top-line growth stemming from selective price increases. During this quarter, we improved our mix of returnable packages to 43.6%, thanks to higher coverage of affordable presentations, such as the 2.5-liter RevPet. We have continued expanding our still beverage portfolio as we take advantage of recent investments for hot fill production in our Salta plant. This quarter, new presentations of Cepita juice were launched in PET and Tetra Pak formats. Our Aquarius flavored water brand gained market share driven by the launch of new flavors in a 2.25-liter one-way PET presentation. These products reflect our commitment to keep offering consumers innovative beverage and packaging alternatives in tune with their shifting needs and preferences. Moving over to Ecuador, volume was up 1.5% in the quarter. This marks the 11th consecutive quarter of volume growth driven by still beverage categories. We continue implementing targeted market initiatives to increase immediate consumption with new affordable presentations using returnable packages. This quarter, our returnable mix increased 21.6%, up 1.5 percentage points. In operations, we have expanded our Operational Excellence Corporate Initiative to our three production centers in Ecuador. Our goal is to become certified as centers of reference for operational excellence in those facilities. Moreover, last month we announced an investment of approximately $80 million in a new production plant in Quito, which will incorporate the highest standards of technology, efficiency, and production quality to supply the growing demand of the Ecuadorian market. In Alexa, our snack business in Ecuador delivered high single-digit revenue growth driven by new product launches and expansion in coverage, particularly in the modern trade channel. In Alexa posted solid volume and value share gains for the quarter, consolidating its market leadership in both pastries and salty snack categories. Revamping activities in our Guayaquil plant were completed. We're investing to enhance our production and warehousing capacity to fulfill pent-up demand and boost additional product launches. Let me now give you an update on Tonicorp. As you remember, starting on the second quarter of this year, our results incorporate a 50% stake in this business. Together with the Coca-Cola Company, our partner, we are moving ahead in our transition plan, capturing initial synergies related to corporate expenses, back office functions, centralization of procurement activities, and other areas. In the third quarter, Tonicorp consolidated revenues rose 8%, driven by 11% growth in our leading yogurt category, while posting double-digit growth in EBITDA and a margin expansion of 200 basis points. Lastly, let me now turn to our productivity program. I am pleased to report that in this quarter we have achieved our goal of 500 million pesos in savings. We were able to capture all of the total incremental annualized savings ahead of time, so the total savings for the year will be higher. As you may recall, our initial plan focused in three main areas. The first one is raw material cost reduction, the second, operational improvements, and the third, SG&A savings. A large part of these savings came from optimizing our sweetener mix. Our flexibility to use sugar and fructose in Mexico allowed us to benefit from our stake in Piazza to meet our sugar needs at very competitive prices, while at the same time take advantage of the attractive fructose costs that we locked in for the whole year. Other sources of savings came from several key initiatives, such as enhanced PET, inline brewing capabilities, additional bottle lightening, energy cost reduction, and waste management improvement, to name the most important ones. It is worth highlighting that the program was accomplished without disrupting our operations. Once again, we have been careful and prudent to implement action plans while we remain highly focused on serving our customers and consumers with excellence. We will integrate all initiatives currently underway into our continuous improvement and operational excellence programs. And with that, I'm going to turn the call over to Emilio to provide further details on our financial results.
Thank you, Arturo. Good morning, everyone. It is great to be here today to discuss Arca Continental's financial results for the third quarter and the first 9 months of 2014 for the earnings release issued this morning. Once again, Arca Continental posted satisfactory financial results despite adverse weather and tough economic and consumption environment combined with a new fiscal framework in Mexico. Volume growth trends continue to improve sequentially quarter over quarter, while we conserve our commitment to be more productive, efficient, and always maintaining a strong execution in the marketplace. Consolidated revenues increased 3.6% in the quarter and 1.6% in the first 9 months of the year, despite of the drop in sales volume and the devaluation of the Argentinian peso. Comparable currency neutral, net revenues increased 8.6% this quarter and 6% year-to-date. In the quarter, cost of goods sold increased 1.4%. They were actually down 3.1% without the consolidation of Tonicorp as a result of lower input prices, our efficiency plan, and the successful FX hedge strategy of our U.S. dollar-denominated raw materials in Mexico. These factors combined helped to expand our gross margin 110 basis points to 49.1%. SG&A expenses were up 5.8% in the quarter, 2.7% without the effect of Tony, reflecting the campaigns and promotions from the closing of the FIFA World Cup, the launch of the Sheraco campaign, and Coca-Cola Life. We continue directing our investments in the marketplace to increase profitability and maintaining value creation. Therefore, operating income improved 10.4% to a margin of 18.5%, an expansion of 110 basis points, and for the first 9 months of the year, operating margin reached 17.8%, 120 basis points expansion. Consolidated EBITDA increased 6.6% to 3.7 billion pesos, cycling a 12% increase in the third quarter of 2013. EBITDA margin was 22.8%, up 70 basis points in the quarter. Year-to-date, EBITDA reached 10.2 billion pesos, 100 basis points margin expansion, to reach 22.3%. Comparable currency neutral, EBITDA increased 10.3% in the quarter and 9.9% year-to-date. Income tax provision for the quarter was 910 million compared to 788 million pesos in the same period of last year. As of September 2014, effective tax rate was 31.6%. Net income increased 6.3% to reach 1.8 billion pesos in the third quarter, representing a margin of 11.1%, an expansion of 20 basis points. Year to date, net income rose to 4.9 billion pesos, up 5.1%, for a margin of 10.8%, 40 basis points higher. Capital expenditures totaled 2.6 billion pesos as of September 2014, concentrating our investment on projects to add more efficiencies and best practices, returnable bottles, cooling equipment, and enhanced production capabilities. Arca Continental continues to be a strong cash flow generator. As of September 2014, operating cash flow before taxes reached 10.2 billion pesos, 44% more than in the same period of last year. We closed the first 9 months of the year with a cash position of 9.9 billion pesos and a net debt of 7.3 billion pesos, meaning a 0.5 debt to EBITDA coverage ratio, one of the lowest levels in our history. We plan to use our own resources to pay a debt maturity of 2.1 billion pesos by the end of this year. In closing, as we approach the final months of the year, we have been able to mitigate the external challenges faced in our industry by managing crisis architecture and leveraging in our product portfolio. The abilities that we have developed through tough work and discipline positions Arca Continental to benefit from the economic recovery we expect in 2015. We foresee better economic conditions and a more normalized consumer environment in our territories in Mexico due to the recovery in U.S. economy and a greater flow of foreign investments, creating new jobs and boosting disposable income. Furthermore, The financial, operational, and human capabilities that we have built over the years secure a strong foundation to maintain the lead position in our markets while capitalizing on profitable growth opportunities. And I will now turn things back to Pancho.
Okay, Mario, thank you. Despite the present volatility of the financial market and weak economic climate, we are confident that we have the right strategy, the right capabilities, the best talent, and most importantly, our team's passion to continue delivering profitable growth over the long term, as we have always done. Our broad, diversified product portfolio, the disciplined approach to extracting value and reinvesting savings on our geographical reach, are enabling us to effectively navigate in a still uncertain macroeconomic environment. History has taught us that when we invest in challenging times, we end up stronger than we were before. So this year, as always, we have continued investing in the market, in our talent, and in the communities that we participate. As we look ahead to 2015, we expect another year of stable commodity prices in our world market. Pet prices are expected to be slightly lower than this year's levels on the back of weaker oil prices and a global resin oversupply. Other plastics and fuel used in our operations should also remain stable price-wise, or maybe we could see some reduction in some of those. In sweeteners, we will continue leveraging our flexibility in Mexico to use high fructose, refined sugar, or standard sugar, using our clarification processes as needed. Corn prices have gone down through this year and should remain at the current very low levels. So it is an excellent timing to negotiate supply of fructose for the next year. Nonetheless, before we close contracts of this important raw material for next year, we will await for the resolution on the current trade dispute over sugar between the U.S. and Mexico. In any case, our competitive position on sweeteners is very strong due to the flexibility that we have in our production facilities, as we have already mentioned. And also, more than half of our sugar needs could come from our own mills. So we have a very competitive prices as an integrated company. And the remainder of sugar, if needed, will come from our investment in other mills, securing supply also at favorable prices. We are confident about the future. We expect that the economic activity in our territories in Mexico will continue improving gradually as the U.S. economy recovery strengthens and the positive impact of the approved reforms begin to accelerate GDP growth. Our businesses is well positioned to benefit from sugar growth, both in Mexico as well as our exports to the U.S. and our operations there. Furthermore, our geographical footprint in Mexico places us in areas that will be directly benefited by exports from the automobile and auto parts industry, as well as by investments in Mexico Northeast associated with energy reform. In Argentina, our operations continue showing positive results, volume and profit growth, despite a very uncertain economic environment. It is a great country with vast natural resources and talented people. We are confident that the economic situation will eventually subside and its extraordinary potential will translate into solid growth. Similarly, Ecuador's economic track record and its return to the world financial markets will enhance the growth potential of the consumer sectors where we participate. Lastly, our sound financial position and our dedication to quickly adapt to the ever-shifting needs of our customers and consumers will allow us to continue improving our results while we keep seeking opportunities for growth and value creation in the businesses and areas where we operate. Thank you again for your continued support and confidence. And operator, please open the call for questions.
Thank you. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and if you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star 2. Again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Antonio Gonzalez with Credit Suisse.
Hi, good morning, Pancho and team, and thanks for taking my question, and congratulations on the result. I wanted to ask a kind of longer-term strategic question. When we look at your 2012-2017 plan, you guys have obviously stated a number of times that you want to double the size of the company revenue-wise, and roughly half of that coming from M&A, roughly half of that coming organically, which would require a 6 or 7% growth in revenues every year. If we look at the trend between the date in which you established this plan and today, obviously, given the excise tax in Mexico and so on, I think the organic growth rate is closer to 3 or 4 maybe. So I wanted to ask, what are your big picture thoughts on how do you close that gap between now and 2017, and specifically whether you think that instead of 50% of that growth coming from M&A, you need more coming from M&A, and where do you think you can be more aggressive? I know that you've been making comments about the U.S. and whether or not that might happen if the Coca-Cola company chooses to refranchise, but apparently, from what we learned this week from the Coca-Cola company, the refranchising process might be somewhat slower than your own targets. So I just wanted to know what other options you're exploring in order to cover that shortfall. Sorry for the very long question.
No. Thank you, Antonio. And it's good to talk with you. I appreciate your question. It's really very interesting. As you said, I mean, we have had this excise tax effect somehow affect the rate of growth for 1 year. But we are recovering already the pace, no? You see, just to mention on the organic side, we are seeing this consecutive improvement quarter by quarter. So for sure, from next year will be a year for growth. However, we've been somehow affected by that. So, and that implies somehow that to really keep the target of the 100 billion sales for the 2017, obviously on a profitable basis, we should change a little bit the mix. So instead of having half and half, probably we will be a little bit more inorganic. So, and that means that we need to be more active working in that regard. But fortunately, our financial position is, as you saw, it's really, well, it's not only healthy, I would say. We have a lot of potential to leverage and even to put more shares in the market eventually, if needed. So really, in terms of the financial side, we are there. In terms of the talent, we have a very good structure and an organization that and processes well-defined that work well in most of the operations that we have. So I'm talking about processes related to RGM, revenue growth management, or RTM for route to market, operational excellence, obviously process related to supporting our customers, our administration, and et cetera, et cetera. So we have several processes which differentiate even in the supply chain and everything. And we can establish those processes in the places we acquire or merge or grow on the inorganic area. So we have people, we have processes, and we have the financial position. Very importantly also, we have a very close relationship with Coca-Cola, not company, because obviously, we not only because of the size, but we are working very closely in all the strategies together to recover growth and moving into new areas like the one that you saw recently in Ecuador. I mean, talking about dairy products, which, by the way, it's a good partnership and working together very well with Coca-Cola. And, by the way, in a very short period of time, doing very good things that we are increasing EBITDA there in double digit, and the market is also increasing, the presence in the market is increasing. So it's a very, and I hope that will be a memorable, always successful case together. So we think that in that regard also we are well positioned. So if you tell me, what do we need to have? I mean, it's really targets, and the targets at least are identified, and we are very close to all of them, and we will pursue in the right manner. But very important to say that in any of them, we have to create value. So that's very important. We have to create value, and there is a good timing in terms of financial cost also to do it because of the interest. So it must be accretive and immediately and somehow helping to the creation value of the shareholders and all what we do. Obviously, the targets are mainly all who like to have Mexico first, second one Latin America, but we now are open to see if there is some opportunities here in the neighborhood area in the U.S. No? So at least, I don't know if we are going to be invited or not, but we are close. I mean, Coca-Cola has their own process, and we respect that process. But I think we have some advantages to offer, and certainly we are close and willing to analyze together alternatives in our neighborhood. And I think we can create value for the system together. But we will have to see how the process in the U.S. starts moving. And you should remember also that we have snacks, no? And that's another pillar for us for growth. And we've been doing quite well in all the companies that we have acquired. We have been having growth and better margins. And certainly it's something new for us. I mean, not so new because we have only 6 years or almost 7 years in the case of Bocaos, a year and a half, 2 years with Inalexa, and a little bit less with YSO. But we are learning, so we are establishing the right basis to move faster in that area that really complements very well what we do. I mean, it's really a fast-moving consumer category in which customers are similar, channels are similar, consumption occasions are similar, and well, there is some difference in execution, and obviously you need to use different drugs and so on, but basically the market are very, very similar in all kind of aspects. So we have learned a lot. We are continually learning, but we are definitely getting stronger to move faster in that regard, even in the innovation area. We just established in Atlanta a very, let's say, good innovation and technical lab there in which we will start bringing some products even in the categories of good for you or better for you. So there are many things to do, but in the case of inorganic for snacks, also we are willing to look opportunities in the countries in which we participate or at least in the regions in which we are. So we definitely we see that we have all the basis to continue moving ahead and the relationship and the people and the process. And we know somehow, let's say, the most important target that we can create value in the businesses that we have. So hopefully we can start giving some results during the next coming years. I mean, I cannot say months because, you know, in these things takes time. But we are working hard in that direction. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Pancho.
Thank you. Well, we are willing to do our what we can do in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Fernando Ferreira with Bank of America Merrill Lynch.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations for the quarter. I had two questions. I guess the first one, just to follow up on the first question from Antonio. I mean, Coke recently announced, right, that they're planning to accelerate this refranchising program in the U.S., but I understand that they still want to keep the production separate from the distribution. Is that something that you would be interested, or you would still prefer to have the whole production chain like you do have in Mexico or in other countries? That would be my first question.
Thank you, Fernando, for your congratulations and for your question. And I would say that, let's say for us, we are obviously open to do with our partner, Coca-Cola, because we are partners anyway since 90 years. So you can imagine since 1990, 25 or 26. So we've been together in the market. Now, equity partners in Ecuador and in Santa Clara and so on. So you can imagine that the relationship is very strong. So we trust in the company, and I think they trust in us. So, and certainly, they are developing new models, but I'm sure that those models should make sense for both parties, no? For them, for us, and more importantly, for the market. No? So for our customers and consumers. So the most important part, if that's the model that makes sense in that country to sell better or more competitively to the market, well, we are open to explore that. And the point is how we can create value. And, I mean, probably we need to invest less money and invest more in the market. Okay, no? So the point is have a clear picture how the profits are split and have a clear picture of how we are going to serve the market better and keep our customers satisfied and growing with them. But we are flexible as long as makes sense for our customers. We are, we trust that the company, been together for many years, are doing the right things. And if they invite us or give us the opportunity to analyze that in more detail, we are flexible to do as long as makes sense to the customers, I mentioned market, and certainly to our shareholders, to continue creating value. No? So we're not close at all in anything, I can tell you, Fernando.
Great, Pancho. Thanks for the answer. And then I had a second question regarding the raw material trends. I mean, you mentioned that you're still waiting to start your fructose negotiations given this recent impasse, right, on the sugar trade between Mexico and the U.S. But in a case that you would have to, let's assume, increase your sugar exposure, right, or sugar within your total mix, how would you see your raw material costs into next year? I mean, how much more expensive you see sugar relative to fructose, considering that you already have a large percentage of your own meals?
Well, it is clear that if we keep, I mean, today sugar is going to, in Mexico anyways, it's moving to a little bit higher prices naturally because there's been very, very low prices, no? So somehow the sweetener price is going to increase. Slightly probably compensated with fructose prices because corn is low, so you can get better price in fructose if you reach to an agreement. So under current circumstances, with no change, practically the prices of sweeteners will remain, if not the same, almost the same, with a slight increase, okay? If this needed to change because of any situation regarding this dispute, which, by the way, today or tomorrow, today, we will have a clear information, or a much more clear information regarding that. And if that really affects the situation, we are very fortunate, as we mentioned, because we have we could have a little bit more than 50% of our consumption of sugar already as an integrated company. So we have a very cost, very efficient, by the way, one of the most efficient, if not the most, sugar mills in Mexico. So in that regard, it's one path that will really keep us very competitive. And the other one is that we have the clarification plants, which obviously will start using standard sugar from closer sugar mills, because we have a very good relationship. No? So we certainly will have an important competitive advantage in that regard. And finally, we have already other investments, real investments in other sugar mills. It's not an integrated, but somehow we have a strong relationship. So we will have definitely all the supply fully secured and at the favorable prices, or also with a very competitive process like the standard and so on. So there will be an impact, of course, but it will be a very manageable impact, no? Very manageable impact. You know, the production of sugar in Mexico this year, is about 6 million tons. No? The consumption of sugar is 4.2. So it was forced to export a lot, no? And that was the reason. Next year, starting, by the way, this November, the new harvest, it will be probably 5.7 million tons of sugar in Mexico. The consumption will be 4.2 plus 1 million tons of additional sugar if we need to replace in Mexico the whole fructose. So it's going to be 5.2. So there will be still additional volume there that can be that need to be placed in the market outside. So the prices in Mexico, I don't think will be crazy at all, no? So our recovery, and even with this situation of definitely will continue improving now for the sugar mill manufacturers. But I would say that at the end, we don't see any major challenges in terms of very high price of sugar. Higher than today, yes, but very high, no. And a manageable situation because we are integrated. So the impact for us, there will be an impact because such happens, but it will be a veterinary management. And not only that, probably we are much better positioned than the rest of other, let's say, participants in the market. You can imagine the B brands. They use only fructose. We use sugar and fructose because of the commitment to, you know, that we have with Coca-Cola and market. So if our competitors will only use sugar, and our sugar is from an integrated company, which is our case, so you may imagine that competitively speaking, our competitors in general will need to increase prices also more than us, no? So in that case, prices should be increased, not too much, because, I mean, but if we need to increase additional 1%, let's put it in that word, the price, our competitors will need to increase a little bit more than that, I don't know, 2 or 3. I mean, if it's a B brand, it should be probably 3. So competitively speaking, it's not that for us. And economically speaking, it's, let's say, balance, because it's something that we can not absorb, we have to pass to the market, but it's not a big effect. You can remind, we increased the price 15% this year just with the excise tax. So whatever happened with the sugar, which I don't think is going to be crazy, will impact with a very, very small percentage. If it's, I mean, in our price, nothing related to the 15% that we increased this year. So it will be an effect, very manageable. We are competitive. We have this integration. We have obviously the facilities in the plant, and we have the flexibility, so we are prepared, and we probably are better positioned in the market than other ones that will need to use only sugar this time and with no integration. That's my message to you. I'm not concerned about telling the truth.
That makes perfect sense, Sancho. Thanks very much for the answer. And congratulations again for performance.
Thank you very much for your support.
Thank you. Our next question comes from James Watson with HSBC.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question, Sancho and team. I wanted to talk just about the improvement in Mexico volumes and the fact that, you know, through three quarters, the volume's down a little less than 4%, which is far better than guidance at the beginning of the year and what most people expected. So I was hoping you could give a little color on, why you've outperformed the initial expectations, whether that's just better elasticity from the consumer, a better consumer environment in general, whether it's, kind of market share gains driven by, your focus on returnables and magic price points. But if you could help us out there.
Thank you, James, for your question. First of all, I would like to give you our warmest welcome to really this sector of beverages, and thank you for calling us. So let me just add this question to Arturo so he can add more information regarding this. Please, Arturo.
Yes, of course. Hi, James. Good morning. As you say, certainly we've been improving quarter by quarter in terms of our volume, as you have noticed. And I would think, first of all, that we realize that certainly our category, especially SSDs, has turned out to be somewhat more resilient than we had anticipated in terms of its elasticity to the price increases. Remember that we passed along not only the tax that was enacted, but also additional price in addition to that to cope with inflation. For growing our volume, we've implemented a number of initiatives. One very important is that we had a very structured and analytical plan for moving prices and having an appropriate price pack architecture. Our price curves were analyzed in detail. Our revenue growth management, I think, turned out to be effective to mitigate the impact of the price increases on the one hand. Second, we have a good returnable mix. Our flexibility to have returnable packages has helped us also to balance our portfolio and also mitigate the effect of the price increases, because we've increased our share, as we mentioned, of the returnable presentations that are in a very high mix of our product this year, because we've adapted to the circumstances and we're offering consumers more affordable products without affecting our profitability, which is the great advantage of that flexibility that we have. I have to mention also that at the beginning of the year we had not very favorable weather, so that's been also normalizing as we go along, and that also was an effect, as we had mentioned, in the first quarter. And aside from that, we've tried to break the natural inertia of growth of our industry with some specific initiatives and campaigns during the year. We continue to invest in cooler coverage throughout the year, even though we know it was going to be a very challenging year in terms of our economics. But we decided to continue that investment, which I think it pays off. We also have been very focused on the coverage of certain key packages. We have identified those that are effective in maximizing our sales and our share, and we are very, very rigorous about the follow-up on coverage of those packages. We've strengthened our what we call the Siglo Impuno capabilities, which is the enhancement of the points of sale, especially the medium and large size customer. Also, in the modern trade, we've introduced new models to serve our customers with new roles, routines, and technology, a better segmentation. Aside from, the Share a Coke campaign that I mentioned before, I think that also helps to not just have the natural growth in our categories, but have an additional boost in what we had expected for the year. And that will continue for the remainder of the year. So we expect a fourth quarter that's better than any of the previous quarters as well, and that creates a good momentum for 2015.
That's great news on the fourth quarter. Can you give any clarity around market share this year, especially within colas?
Yes, our share obviously is the response of our balanced approach in terms of profitability, volume, share volume. In terms of colas, we're performing well. the flavors category normally is more affected in circumstances like the one that we're facing right now. So we've maintained stable share over the year, which is very important. Value share, which is key for profitability, is also something that we've maintained and improved. Remember that we had last year the highest share, this time of the year, the highest share that we had in Mexico in many, many years, in the same month in 2013. So that comparison stuff. But again, there is a change in mix also in the industry that affects share. But even considering that, a change of mix of channels, we've been able to maintain our volume and, more importantly, our value share in the market. And Colas is performing better also because we have a stronger brand equity, of course, than Colas. So what I would say is that in this tough economic conditions, it is even more challenging to grow volume share. As things go along, our position in the market also gives us an advantage when the economy is improving to capture additional share, not only in terms of value as well right now, but also in terms of volume.
I will ask probably Arturo that those that have been more affected with this situation really are the big brands, no? In general. I mean, even you can probably say, well, they give lower prices and so on, but relatively to our prices, they've been somehow getting close to the gaps, no? So somehow they've been losing share, so we're quite stable in general. Thank you again.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alex Robarts with Citi.
Thanks. Hi, everybody. Was keen to get into a couple of the issues that you've already discussed with a little bit more detail. And, you know, the raw material outlook for next year is something that we've been paying particular attention to. And there were two follow-ups on this one as we think about your raw material cost outlook for next year. You mentioned that plastics could be stable for next year versus this year. And I'm just wondering, you know, looking at what the oil price is doing now, could it be safe to be a little bit more let's just say aggressive in the outlook, or to think that perhaps there's a chance that your PET cost could be lower next year in dollars. And then the second part on the raw material outlook is, you know, when we think about this trade dispute, and we've been hearing about it for the last couple months, but is there a date that a decision has to be made? In other words, would you be in a position to, let's say, hold off in fixing your costs for high fructose next year until this is resolved, or might you have to do it before in this and then do a partial? In other words, if you could give us a little bit more color on the actual dates that are involved in this dispute, as far as you can share with us, obviously. So that's the first question. Thanks.
Thanks, Alex. It's great to talk with you. I'll see you soon, Alex. And just going to the first comment related to the plastics, I was talking about other plastics and films. I'm talking about polyethylene, polypropylene for closures and so on. So that means that in those cases, probably it's stable, no? But in the PET resin, definitely we have seen a decrease, a trend. And we foresee furthermore a reduction for next year. So not only because of the oil price, but also the oversupply. It's tremendous, the oversupply, especially in Asia, but everywhere. It's a lot of PET resin. So, and a lot of raw materials, also the raw materials for PET, I'm talking the PTA or the glycol. So in paraxylene, I think that in general, it is clear that that will decrease. I don't think too much, but will decrease. So it means that probably in many years, it's going to be at this time, probably during the next year, below 70 cents per pound. So for the first time in many years, so it's something important. And talking about the what will be the date for having this, let's say, the resolution on the this issue, I think today we will have a very clear picture during the afternoon of what is going to happen. Mm? And then we will decide during the next coming weeks the next steps. So that's for sure. So we will not be waiting for the beginning of next year and so on. So that's something that we are ready to take actions pretty soon. No? And if the situation will remain stable, we have enough, let's say, volume separated from fructose to buy and having interesting prices compared with last year. And if there is some other complications in that, we will know very soon, and probably today, and we are prepared to also move faster in the other process I mentioned. But I want you to give our assurance that not only because of our integration or flexibility, but also because we foresee a reasonable balance situation for next year in sugar. We participate in this market, so we know what is happening. So there will be no lack of sugar or crazy conditions on the prices. So there will be an increase, of course, naturally, if you have to buy only sugar, no? But because of our position, we are going to be less affected than the rest. And the impact, definitely, it's not too much. It's something that we can eventually, if that happens, translate into the market without, let's say, a major effect. I mean, you can imagine the percentage of sweeteners of our total cost is probably 14%. So, if of the cost, so of the sales, it's 7%. So, if it increases 50%, let's say, because of the change in the structure, it's 1% of the sales. So after increasing 15 or more this year, now we see marginally everything, to tell the truth.
Right.
So, I mean, the volume will come anyways from the market. I mean, we foresee that. And if it's 1% more or 1% less on prices, I mean, and by the way, we are going to be better positioned because of our, as I mentioned, B brands, for instance, use more, let's say, fructose. We cannot use all fructose, so. So if they are forced to use sugar only, and they don't have the integration that we have, because you can imagine that what will happen, no? So it's not bad at all. I mean, I probably would prefer the situation today, but it's not a negative effect in the future at all.
Okay. Okay. Very clear. No, thanks for that. The second thing, I was keen to ask about was the profitability level in South America, and clearly as the Tony assets get integrated there, you know, the margin level has an adjustment downward, and that's clear. But I guess we were doing a few calculations, and it seems that you know, ex Tony, that the beverage margin suffered a bit in the third quarter, year on year, and I just wanted to see if that was the case, and what could have been some of the factors behind that, and if it wasn't the case, that's fine too. So, I mean, if you could help us out on that.
Yeah, no, well, I can tell you it's not a trend. That's very important. But let me pass this question, Alex, if you allow me, to Arturo, so he will let you know. First of all, the effect of Tony. But then what will happen with Tony? Because we are very positive on the future of Tony, no? And what's happening with the current situation in South America? Please, Arturo, would you please be
sure
kind of helping us with
this? Sure. Hi, Alex. Well, as you mentioned, Tony certainly erodes part of the margin of the year, probably a little more than 40 basis points of the total margin. In the year-to-date, in beverages, we've been improving margins in both Ecuador and Argentina. Third quarter had some effects in the increases in some of the raw materials, especially sugar in Argentina. As you know, in this environment of high inflation, you have to sometimes catch up with the prices. So we, as Pancho said, we're not concerned that this is a trend overall and that we can maintain the year with very healthy margins. In the case of Ecuador, there's also the effect of the snack operation, although it's small. But since we've changed the model and we've taken over the distribution on our own, the model changes the margins. We're increasing EBITDA, but the margins are lower because now what used to be sales to distributors are now sales that we make directly. So that although it's small in size, it's a relevant impact if you consider the context of Ecuador.
Tony, regarding Tony, I would like to say just to add that a part of the clearing up what is the effect of that in terms of the basis points of the margin. What I can tell you, we are really with a positive view in the future. I mean, I just want to remark that because, I mean, just this quarter has been increasing in the everyday, no, Arturo? That's it.
Yes.
And the margin is improving. So we think that and still there are many synergies to do and more sales. You can imagine just to increase 20 or 30,000 points of sales more in the coming quarter. So we will bring new products to stocks and initiatives and putting together the distribution and simplify the operation within Tony. So I think there were plenty of opportunities to improve that that business, not only in margin, but also in growth.
Okay, got it. So there was a sequential increase in the sugar price in Argentina. Is that a fair statement?
That's right. Okay. But, I mean, we will absorb it in the next coming months and balance situation. So we don't see any trend negative in that regard. And the effect of Tony is not too much, but by the way, it's improving, so bottom line is will really be positive.
Got it. And the very last one, sorry, just this is a quick one, but still beverages, in Mexico, you know, there's we understand the competition in certain subcategories are not increasing pricing, and so there's a volume impact and such, but could you give us a sense of still versus CSD next year? Do you think that we get back up to the kind of historical trend where, you know, because of low per caps, still categories revert to having higher growth than CSDs, or is the visibility still not there and it's going to be too soon to make that kind of a call. So I'm kind of I'm interested in the relative growth rates as you see them, you know, CSD still into next year.
Okay, that's cool.
Sure. Alex, well, first of all, the still beverages are naturally more affected this year in the new pricing environment, and it's more refers to transferring the effect of the tax rather than the pricing among the players. In terms of the categories, the more relevant categories like juices and sports drinks, we've been gaining market share as we go along throughout the year. But volumes are naturally affected since consumers are more price sensitive. I think it's a result of new prices, but also the result of the current economic conditions, since stills are sold obviously at a premium price versus less more resilient categories. And consumers switch to, you know, powders or some of the drinks that are prepared at home. But stills were performing much better this quarter. Juices were down 3%, but this is much better performance than we had before. We've made some adjustments in our portfolio, some introductions, and we'll be introducing combos and those kind of things. We have also an innovation pipeline that is relevant, especially for next year. We've been affected more in the case of the orange still drinks by price because that's obviously a category which is easier to switch under the conditions. Powerade has had a strong performance. We continue to consolidate our leadership We're, you know, 53% share. And we've introduced new products at Del Valle, as you know, Nutri Defensa, that's used with vitamins. We have new flavors for Fuse coming. So we expect a good year and also reversing this negative trend. But we've seen that already, so we have good expectations for 2015.
Got it. Very clear.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Lavoy with Brazil Plural.
Good morning, everyone. Pancho, Mutar reiterated to us on Wednesday in his roadshow here in the U.S. that the incremental marketing dollars are going to go to the bottlers with the best OBPPC execution, and nobody's better than you at this. So two questions. One is, have you been informed of a notable step-up in marketing dollars in your region for next year? Can you share anything with us about that? And second of all, can you comment on 2015 future plans for recruiting consumers in the aftermarket of this obesity tax increase period, which is important?
Well, thank you, Carlos. Really, it's good to talk with you. I mean, hope to see you soon, as we said, and welcome back to the really this conferences and the more clear participation in this business. You're always welcome. And just talking about the first part, I mean, we have not been informed specifically about any, let's say, major change of what we are doing. We are talking only with the different divisions about the business plan, and it is clear that because we have growth, I mean, forecasted in all the countries that we participate in volume-wise and not only sales-wise, also value-wise, we have we are going to increase, let's say, also the marketing expenses and that we are going to dedicate to really enhance our position and move the volume better, no? But it's because certainly we are growing, and if you have growth, you have the chances to invest more. And the more you invest, the more you grow. So it's somehow a virtuous circle. So, but anything additional, special? No. Well, we are continue investing in coolers. We are and it seems that they are indicating that probably they would like to have a more aggressive investment in that regard, which we are not opposed to that. I mean, we will manage that because the more, you know, to sell, you need to chop. And in order to sell better, it's better to sell if it's cost, no? In our kind of category. So we think that we can accelerate a little bit more that. But apart from that, the rest, we've been always committed to invest, so it's not a major change. There are probably other markets in which people have been more, let's say, I cannot have an opinion of everyone, but we've been doing an important investment continuously, so we don't think that it's a major change on our trend in that regard. And we foresee growth in all our regions that we participate in. So then we can absorb that investment, and that investment will push more the volume. So we are happy to be together with the company in that regard. If we know something new, we would like to know to all of you. And recruiting consumers for the year 2015, as you said, it's a very important factor because with this issue of the obesity, not only because of the prices and so on, but also because of the messages and the image and so on through all these campaigns and NGOs saying many things about this. It's something that we've been somehow offsetting part of that through campaigns like Chair of Gold, trying to balance the image, to also the red truck, you know, that we are doing. By the way, the advertising of the red truck means it's a driver with somehow you see in the TV delivering products, but also during this advertising, it also mentioned all what we do in Mexico in terms of reforesting, in terms of water reduction, in terms of recycling of bottles, in terms of the communities, in terms of activation. So the Red Truck campaign, it's quite good. And the one that drives the Red Truck, it's our driver that works in our company, by the way. It's a salesman of the Route 88 in the Insurgentes plant. So we are proud of that. And his son also, who speaks at the school about his father and the Red Truck concept and so on and so forth. So we are positive that there are other things that has to be done on the advertising side and on the community and so on to keep our image as we have done. I mean, very good things for all the participants of our categories and investing with our customers. But there are more specific things related to the products and coolers and packages, which I will ask Arturo.
Sure.
To say more.
Marcos, yes. Well, there's two avenues. First is that we do many more things than just sell products, as Pancho was mentioning, and we're going to continue to strengthen that in terms of creating awareness, informing consumers, activating people, and overall building the reputation of the company and the brands. We've been measuring brand love this year, which has been increasing. I think that is the result of there's many other things that we're doing aside from our product strategy, and that's going to continue. I think that's going to be certainly increased next year and continue to be tracked and measured. On the side of the product, which is the other part, we, again, are going to be aggressive in coolers, maybe more aggressive than we've already been in terms of a cooler introduction and of our, you know, capabilities in the market for segmentation. We are going to take advantage of the strong mix of Life products in our areas, especially with the introduction of Coke Life. We're going to be aggressive in the sampling of Coke Life, and there are things that are coming in terms of flavors, also based on the same idea. We're working on our ideal price pack structure to focus on a single serve presentations. Probably we're going to have more one-way packs next year in PET. And we're going to be more aggressive in the channels that we know work well, and we have our strength, like the direct-to-home next year, introducing many new routes, and vending machine, which has proven a good way also to increase or enhance our connection with the consumers. I think stills that we already mentioned before are a good way as well to complement our portfolio. We have innovation in stills, and we're going to be continue to focus on Santa Clara, which we believe is a great opportunity as well to present the company as a total beverage company, not only selling SSDs.
Right. By the way, all what we sell from Santa Clara, it's new volume in Mexico. Same really in Ecuador with the dairy products, which is also new products coming. I mean, sincerely, in that case, probably we are in Mexico the best in terms of the sales of Santa Clara products. No?
Well, especially considering that Santa Clara is not a very well-known brand in our territory. So we're building the equity of the brand. We have very good response up to now. So we had a very good coverage of Santa Clara in this initial few weeks. So we're excited about that possibility.
But we are definitely thinking in some small packages also with a price 90 points there, but we definitely have to be available in many places to reassure that and the reentry and certainly to capture new people.
Well, thanks, Pancho. I mean, you're clearly doing enough to earn those extra marketing dollars. But Mutar also said that in his mind, for North America, he already knows where two-thirds of the volume that needs to be refranchised is going, and that another one-third, he's still trying to sort out where it's going to come from in 2017 and beyond. Are you in the two-thirds that he's resolved in his mind, or are you in the one-third that he still needs to resolve? And do you worry that if you're in the one-third, that maybe some of those territories you want have already been issued to somebody else?
So we hope that we are taking into account as an important bottler and partner and friend. So we hope that we are part of the third there, two-thirds volume for franchise, at least considered to be there. I mean, and certainly they are informed that we are interested to analyze together. And so what will happen, I'm not sure, but I don't think that without the relationship that we have, this will think this will pass really without talking with us in some of these opportunities, if that will happen, because we have, as I mentioned to you, a strong partnership and so on. So I'm not saying that we will invest or not, or finally, but if they are going to invite another ones, I mean, outside the U.S., for instance, I mean, I'm sure that we want to be part of that. Why not? I mean, we have extraordinarily good relationships for many years, and we have been proving that we've been creating value for the system. So in that regard, I mean, I'm not concerned about that. What will happen, I'm not sure. I mean, we will have to see if it makes sense for both. I mean, but the most important part, as I mentioned, is that the new models and so on should make sense for the market, for the customers and the consumers, and then make sense in terms of assuring the right value creation for the system and the right balance for the parties involved. And I'm willing to check closely this as soon as they are open to talk. Hmm?
Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. I appreciate your support.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Those who are already in the queue, please press star one as well. Our next question comes from Joao Barreau with Goldman Sachs.
Hi, good morning. It's Luca from HPC, actually. I have a follow-up on the M&A discussion, leaving aside for a second the debate over the U.S. Opportunity. More if you maybe can share your views on. I remember at the beginning of the last year, you highlighted how this was not going to be a consolidation year, understandably so, given the changes in Mexico and given also the other dynamics in the rest of LATAM. So I was curious to understand as the year turns to an end, what has changed? I mean, do you still see many more opportunities or many opportunities in 2015, or rather, you know, more incentives for some of the smaller bottlers to sell in Mexico and also in the rest of LATAM? Maybe, you know, if you can update your views on what may have or may have not changed compared to the past in let's say accelerating or starting again a process of consolidation. And then lastly, always related to this, when we think about M&A opportunities in other categories, should we assume that essentially, unless you enter new territories, it's kind of done? You know, when you think about dairy, when we think about snacks, really, if you were to continue expanding into these venues, you would have to be in territories that you're not currently present, given that we shouldn't expect anything more than where you are already.
Thank you, Luca. Your question is so very, very interesting. It's difficult to answer because, I mean, if you tell me if the bottlers are going to be more willing in Mexico or Latin America willing to sell or to... I think what is clear, and it's something I have to say, that there are more pressures. It's clear, I mean we are somehow blessed. And I don't want to sound arrogant, but we are so somehow blessed that we are located in Mexico and in the north, or half of the north of Mexico, even better, just close to, let's say, U.S. This territory of, these countries, U.S., Canada, and Mexico, it's among all the countries in the world really blessed on this possibility of growing. You see Europe, complicated. You see Oceania or that continent, it's very complicated. If you see even in Latin America, they have especially South America, more challenges for the next coming at least. You talk about countries, important countries, more challenges than Mexico or U.S. So in that regard, let's say that I have the perception that South American participants will be, let's say, in a more challenging environment, no? than in Mexico in general. That's my view for 2014 or 16. And that means that there could be opportunities, no? there, more than precisely in Mexico, in my opinion. So we are close, you know, there are not too many. We are close to those that we think we can create that. But we are still keeping an eye on Mexico. So U.S. has been already discussed already a lot. And then let me go to other categories. I mean, other categories are really snacks. And snacks is salty snacks or sweet snacks. As long as it's a fast-moving consumer product, which is same channels, same customers, very adjacent brand and distribution, so on, we are somehow interested in that. The point is, and your question is, are there opportunities that we are looking for in the territories in which we already participate? Yes, we are. And those territories, obviously, it's in Ecuador or close by, you know, there in Peru or Colombia and those areas. We think there is an opportunity to do something there in snacks. Something else in Mexico, not too big, but there is something to do there, here. I'm talking about acquisitions. And in the U.S., obviously, there are some important, more relevant, more transformational. So we will see. But I can tell you that we already participate also in U.S., and it's part of our territories, as you mentioned, in which we are already involved. And in that case, it could be different. It could be different. Mm-hmm. There are options of medium size or large ones to really do something. I'm not sure, but to do something. I mean, I'm not necessarily acquired or be associated with venturing and so on. But it's definitely, in case of, let's say, of bottling, we are more open to see, even to find opportunities elsewhere. But in case of snacks, it should be in the countries in which we participate, no? Already. And definitely we see opportunities, salty and sweet, both of them. So, I mean, to really reach the sales, you know, we need probably the 3 billion or less than $3 billion dollars, so probably $2.5 to $3 billion sales to reach the final target for the year 2017, around that. So it means that there are a sum of alternatives, no? So we have a matrix in which a part of the really organic growth, which is our main target to assure, we are dedicating most of our time, especially with Arturo, you know, we split somehow the functions. So he is really in charge of the operation, or most of the operation, and that helps me to give more time to me and the organization, together with people like Manuel Gutierrez, who reports also to me in the planning, or Emilio in finance, and so on, and the legal area, Jaime, to find opportunities in this regard. So we want to be clear that organic is the most important part, and we are going to dedicate our utmost effort and investment to recovering our growth there, which we are really very positive in our opinion for next year. However, if there is an opportunity that comes from this alternative, we are prepared to take it in all all the different pillars, processes, people, finance, et cetera, et cetera. And myself, especially with the team I mentioned, without taking the attention of the operation of the current organic growth, we are dedicating myself more to that possibilities now. And we have the matrix of what are the alternatives. So you must be sure that we are endorsing which will be the priority of likely possibilities, value creation. Those things are the most important aspects to be taken into account to move. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Armando Perez with Credit Suisse.
Hi, everyone, and thanks for the call. My question is just a follow-up of all the commodity-related questions. Do you have any active contracts in Argentina for raw materials, and when do they mature, and what are your expectations for next year in that country? And the other one is, could you help me understand your fiscal strategy this year? I see that that the tax rate has increased year over year, and that also you have not paid the same amount of cash taxes. I think that those are my questions. Thanks.
Thank you for your question, Armando. I will ask Emilio Marcos to answer both questions if you don't mind. Please.
Thank you, Armando, for your question. First, we don't have any contract in Argentina, long-term contract with any supplier. We do have some strategy purchasing. Sometimes we buy some in advance. We manage to see depending on what we expect on the prices, but we don't have a specific contract. Regarding the effective tax rate, this quarter, yes, increased more than that we have on the year-to-date basis because this quarter we have less deductible expenses during this period. But as you can see, by the end of the in a year-to-date basis, we have a 31.6% tax rate, less than the quarter. And we do expect to have, by the end of the year, a similar tax rate that we have year-to-date as of September, 31.6. You know that's an impact. That's the impact for the fiscal reform that we had this year in Mexico.
Thank you, Armando. Are you okay? Okay.
And also, I saw that tax liabilities increased by a bit. Could you help us understand that account, please?
Yes, sure. That's also because of the fiscal reform. The main figures there are because of the taxes. The excise tax is one, and the income tax is also. We're accruing more taxes during the year, but that's the one that we're going to be paying next year, by April next year. So it comes from excise tax and income tax.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Pedro Leduc with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for taking our questions. Pedro Leduc on behalf of Andrea Teixeira here at J.P. Morgan. And it will be specifically on to the North America division, this 3Q result, modest 1% sales growth, of course, but it's very strong EBITDA expansion. And if you could provide us a little bit more detail, what drove this faster EBITDA growth, if it was coming more from the gross margin level or if it was more on the SG&A front, and how we should expect this behavior going to the fourth quarter now that you're probably will have better volumes. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro, for your question. It's really interesting, and I will appreciate the two of you, answer.
Yes, sure, Pedro. Thanks for your question. Certainly, the improvement on the EBITDA comes from several factors. One is that we, again, have been managing the volume more effectively. As you know, we have better volumes than before and better than we expected, certainly. But in terms of cost and expenses, on the one hand, we had a favorable environment for some of the raw material prices, but I mentioned the efficiency plan in my initial remarks, which have been yielding very positive results in three main areas, in SG&A, in packaging, and raw materials. Of the overall impact that plan would have, I would say raw materials is half of that. which is not only better prices in some of the raw materials, but also what we've done in terms of lightweighting and some better negotiations of some of our inputs. Packaging would be 25%, and SG&A would be approximately 25%, which is something also of our very aggressive efficiency plan of this year. So I think overall they all contribute to a better margin. As you see, we have a very healthy EBITDA margin for the third quarter and for the total year, and a good result, a good financial result, despite the difficult conditions in the market and the decline in volume.
Is that okay, Pedro, for you?
Yeah, no, it's perfectly understood. So I can interpret that much of these SG&A efforts that have bear fruit now should likely continue, no?
Yes.
Right. In Mexico, just to give you an idea, the fixed expenses are growing much less than inflation. And since we've had our headcount more or less stable, we've managed some of the seasonality for that, but we haven't had layoffs throughout the year. It's mostly our efficiency in some of the other areas, which have allowed us to have expenses growing at about a little, slightly above 2%, our fixed operating expense in Mexico, which I think is remarkable considering that we've continued to increase salaries as a normal year.
Right. And if you analyze really in Mexico, the SG&A on sales, you will see and analyze compared with other ones. I mean, in general, we continue looking for that efficiency, and we think that we have an important difference in that regard that we should apply also soon to other countries. I mean, we are moving to that direction to have an SG&A on sales very, very efficient.
Oh,
thank you.
Sounds good. Congratulations and good luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Thank you. We don't have anyone in queue at this time. If anyone else has a question, please press star one now. We have no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the call back over to Arca Continental's management for closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you for participating in this conference call and for your continued interest in Arca Continental. And as always, we remain available for any additional questions you may have. Through either Ulises, Juan, Emilio, Arturo, or even myself, please feel free to contact us. We are more than open always, and it will be a great pleasure to contact you. And have a very nice day, all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.